So I have a question for you. Who are these people? You've seen these people around your marina last weekend. They were walking the dog, not in the picture, around the harbor edge. They put their boat against the fuel dock, and one of your superb staff was filling their boat for them. Who are they?
Potential customers.
The potential customers, yeah. They may be existing customers. But they are people who will leave your marina at some point, maybe this afternoon, maybe tomorrow, maybe next weekend when they go fishing. And they'll have an opinion about the experience they just had in your marina. And what are they going to do with that opinion? They're going to say something about it. And what we hope is they're going to say something that's raving wonderful about it. And they're going to go on Yelp, and they're going to go on Google, and they're going to go on Docwa and TripAdvisor and all of these sites and say what an extraordinary and exceptional time they had at your marina. And what you should do is you should make sure that you recognize that. And my little acronym for this is about keeping your social media fresh, which is be the first to repost it. So when you see that on Twitter, on Facebook, repost it. And thank the person for saying those kind words about you. Feature that testimonial everywhere. Put it on your website. Put it in your brochure. Put it in your welcome letter. Put it in the letter that you send to people who are cruising in for a couple of nights. Hey, we just had this lovely family, and they thought this about us. Yeah, reinforce what people are saying about you, because that is the best testimonial when it comes from a friend or a family member. That's okay, but when it comes from a visitor to your harbor who's there for a purpose, there is nothing better than that. Share the news with your team, because that testimonial that you just got on Instagram, how many of these sites are there? So many that we have to keep track of. That testimonial you just got on Instagram is because of your harbor team. That interaction they had with the person fueling their boat, the interaction they had with the person who brushed that leaf litter off the ramp that they were walking up. Those interactions they had with those people, that's what created that review. And part of our job then as leaders in our marinas is to make sure that our staff have the same passion about what we do, because when they exude that passion to visitors to the harbor, then that resonates. And then I want you to think about the review. Think about what that review tells you. The access to the ice machine was easy. There was plenty of it. And they even provided us with a bucket. It says a lot. It says a lot that you thought about having an ice machine, making sure it doesn't run out, that you had ice buckets so people could go back and chill their Chardonnay from Napa. I'm from California. I got to promote. Yeah. That demonstrates that you care about it, and you need to share that with your team so they think like you do, and you need to make sure you think about, well, what else could I do that will surprise and delight? So these folk, They're going to be really influential in how successful your marina is. But they can be really detrimental too. I went on Yelp looking for reviews about marinas. None of these reviews are about your marina. Because the harbour master who got these reviews, I know that he's not here. So much trash. It was sad to see, since I used to come here when I was little. So to come to a place I love, be a trashing place, was hard to watch. Won't be back in that area anytime too. This marina is supposed to be a five-star marina that's a bunch of BS. For one thing, the launch ramp has no fresh water, so you can't even rinse your boat or clean your fish. It costs $15 to launch your boat. On the weekend, it's usually so full. What are they doing with the money? They sure aren't fixing things. Imagine, right? Just imagine what another boater who's planning to cruise out to your marina for the weekend is thinking when they read that. They're thinking, I'm going to go to the marina around the corner. Yeah. So when you get a bad review, there's something really important that you have to decide. Is this review telling the truth? Or is it just some malicious person who, you know, maybe had to wait 5 more minutes for the fuel dock than they thought they should? So if it's fake news, here's what you should do. You should reply. You should welcome feedback. You should always send the message that it's okay to tell us what you like and what you don't like. You should find something positive in their feedback. I'm grateful you took the time to tell us about this. Clearly, it's very important to you, and therefore it's very important to me. Call out the falsehoods. Right? So if they said that they waited an hour for the fuel dock, well, go talk to the fuel captain and ask how long did they really wait. And if the fuel captain says, oh, it was a long time, it was 25 minutes, then say so. If it was an hour and a half, say so. Give evidence. Yeah, we actually log the boats in and out of the fuel dock. So we know exactly when you arrived and when you departed, and it was exactly 18 minutes. And ask them to come back. Say, sorry we disappointed you. We want to make it up to you. Next time you come, come and see me. Come and see me, the harbor master. Come and see me, the owner. If you don't take the sting out of these things, then they will fester. And what you really want to do is you want to hope that other people will read those reviews and say, yeah, it's a great harbor. I've never had to wait more than 5 minutes for the pump out. So that aberration gets pushed down the stack and out of the way. What about if what they say is true? What about if the launch ramp is too slippy that you can't get any grip and you fell in the water? What if that is true? Welcome the feedback. Find something positive and own it. And say, yeah, you're right. The launch ramp was meant to be pressure washed on Saturday. We didn't get around to it. That's entirely my responsibility. Compare it to normal. Our normal practice is to pressure wash the ramp at low tide at least once a week. Invite them back. Sorry you had to do this. We'll waive your launch ramp fees for a month. Come back and see us soon. Yeah. Own it. But don't ever get into a troll war. Don't get argumentative. Don't get defensive. Don't pass the buck. Don't say it was somebody else's fault, somebody who let you down, somebody who you're responsible for. Don't make promises you can't keep. And don't delay in responding. It's really important we put these things in context quickly. What all of that does is it tells the people that you care. Because you're monitoring social media, because you're responding to the positive and the negative feedback, it tells people that you really are interested in that input. According to various bits of research, 92% of people believe in their friends' and family's recommendations. Think about it. When was the last time you were out cruising somewhere, you were in the bar at the yacht club, and you're talking to the person next to you, and they're saying, hey, I just came from this amazing marina. You should see the facilities. It's just incredible. And they take such good care of you. You're putting that on your to-visit list. And if they say, oh, the harbor master there, he's a jerk. Yeah, he wants you to park your boat just so. Are you going there? Of course not. Word of mouth is the key influencer, according to Ogilvy. Bright Local says 72% of people have increased confidence in making a purchase if it's from a positive review online. And millennials? Millennials rank word of mouth as the number one reason they will make a purchase. So what do we have to do in order to generate that positive message to get people to come to our marina? Well, I want to introduce you to a new buyer's journey. The buyer's journey is the classic thing of prospecting for new boaters to come and bring their boat to your harbor, identifying the ones that are good candidates, they've got nice boats, they take care of them, they're active, they're members of sailing clubs, they race. You identify who the ideal ones are, and you hope that they put in an application for a 55-foot slip for their beautiful Juno. And you sign them up. And it might be, you know, it's one in 50 that you sign up, and they become part of your harbor, and life is good. And you think about the money you spent on advertising in the local sailing magazine. You think about the advert that you put on in the local cinema. You think about the radio ad. You think about all the things that you did to promote your marina. You think about the mailing list you bought. You think about the flyers that you printed and put outside. And you think about all of that cost and you say, you know what? That was well worth it because we got a new customer. But that's just the beginning, because a new customer, as I said at the beginning, is a potential massive benefit or also a potential massive liability. Because now they're in your harbor, they see the harbor for what it is. They interact with it, possibly daily, maybe monthly, but they interact with the harbor, the facilities, the people, and they get to see how things really are. And so what I want you to think about now is think about the people who have boats in your harbor and how you get them to be people who contribute to the well-being of the harbor. And in fact, I want you to think about programs where we get them to be champions for your harbor. People who will go out of their way to talk about you when they're out cruising. People who will go to the yacht club meeting and will talk about the harbor. You know, people who will talk to their other boating friends. People who, when they're racing, talk about how cool your marina is. How do we get people to be champions for us? Well, at Starsort Systems, we have a whole sales and marketing program for marinas and harbors, and there are 117 slides in the deck. I left them home. Okay. I've given you about 8 of them. Because we want to focus on this last part of the playbook, which is turning customers into what I call contenders and ultimately into champions. And it's a very formulaic program whose sole purpose is to make sure that the people in your harbor are hearty and happy and healthy and out promoting the product that you deliver. And it starts with the marina team. We have to get the whole marina team on board with this. They have to understand that every single interaction with a member of your harbor is a potential for getting that member to go say something nice about you. Or not. We then need to create some programs that are going to work for your harbor. Not every program works for every harbor, and there are dozens of things we can do, and we'll talk about some of them. And then we go and engage with our boating community, but not all of them. You already know who the contenders are in your marina, don't you? You know them by name. You know the names of their dogs. Yeah? You know that they would do anything for you and you would do anything for them. And you know the people who will never be contenders. You know, those people who don't pay their bills on time, who complain about everything, and whose boats are unkempt. I scaled that way back. Okay, so how do we do that? I call it the now what moment. If you decide to do this, there's a now what moment. So, okay, so we're going to do this. We're going to focus some of our marketing effort on the people in the harbor. What are we going to do? Well, it divides into two categories. The staff need to be on board with the program. The number one thing that you can do to improve boater retention so that people stay in your harbor and promote you is have a well-educated and well-trained staff that know the processes, know the policies, know the procedures, and they execute them flawlessly every time with a smile and a sense of humor and with care and compassion and thoughtfulness. You need to have a new boater onboarding program. So what happens when they sign the license agreement and they write that first check? What happens then? We bill them. But what else do? We remind them when they don't pay. What else? What else can we do? We need an onboarding program which says, okay, now you're a member of the harbor, let me tell you about these things you probably didn't know. Did you know that we have a yacht club upstairs? And if you're not a member, that's okay. For the first month, you're allowed to go in the yacht club. Did you know that we have a laundry? And you get 3 months of free laundry when you become a member of the harbor. Oh, and by the way, here are some gift certificates to spend on harbor apparel for you and your family. Oh, by the way, here are your harbor hats. And here's the number plate holder. License plate holder. Sorry, I spoke English there for a second. License plate holder with the harbor's name on it. You need a real program that's not just about Chotskys, but it's about other things. Like, do you know the harbor rules and regulations? How many people in your marina know the harbor rules and regulations? What is the curfew time? In my license agreement with the harbor where my boat is, One of the requirements is that rap music may not be played on Thursdays. Do you know why? Because the harbour masters are trained to ask new members, did you find anything odd about the rules and regulations? And if they say, yeah, what's all that about the rap music? You know they've read it. If they say no, pretty straightforward, you know they haven't read it. We're actually rolling out a new program now where the rules and regs come with an exam paper. Just 10 questions. There's 10 different exams with 10 different questions, so every member of the family can do it. You turn in the exam paper, you get 75% on the exam. You get a harbor hat. But at least it gets the rules and regs read. So when you tell the person, no, they can't cycle on the dock, they say, oh, yeah, I forgot. Not why? Okay. Oh, did we race ahead? Okay. Whoa, we did race ahead. What was happening? Oh, now we're racing way ahead. Back. Regular communication, of course, is a must. And frictionless business processes. What does that mean? Well, I am sure that when you are bringing a new member into the harbor and you ask them the question, or they will ask questions, well, why do I have to fill out this form and this form? Why do I need you to fill out this form with all the details of my vessel registration when you could just take a picture of my vessel registration? Those are frictions in the business process. And you need to think about, what can I do to make the whole thing easier? Can I get them just to fill it all out online once and eliminate the paper? What can we do to make the business processes easier? And then for the boat of them, we need to think about some initiatives. Like, one of my favorite ones is the See Something, Say Something bucks. I love this. When a boat stops into the harbor house and says, oh, did you notice that the wind's blown the trash out and it's on the roadway? I love it when they do that. It means they care. And then I go out, or one of my colleagues goes out, we pick up the trash and we put it away, and people around the harbor see us doing that. And they say, oh, look, those people care about this place. And See Something, Say Something bucks are nothing, right? It's a $5 voucher to use in the restaurant. And people save them up and have a slap-up dinner every now and again. But the fact that they saw something and told us, and we were able to act on it quickly, meant that it wasn't somebody else walking by going, oh, look at the trash around this place. And then random acts of caring. The dock crew, if they're walking around and they see that somebody's dock box is filthy and covered in cobwebs, how about they grab the hose and just hose it off, make it clean? Random acts of caring, because it just looked dirty and that member didn't deserve that. Now, I know the member should probably clean their dock box periodically. But we're talking about creating an ethos in the team that's about what can I do to excel. What can I do to delight the people that are members of the harbor that pay my salary? So, here's some ideas. Get your team members to own a piece of the harbor. Right? So everything on A dock and B dock is your responsibility. Which means every day you should walk A dock and B dock and just have a look. Hey, you know, Those lines, they don't look secure. I'll get somebody to help me tie this boat more securely. Hey, the dinghy's fallen off the davits or hanging in the water. Let's call the owner and see what they want to do. Learn the names of the members, particularly the ones that you think are going to be advocates for you. Learn the names of their kids. Learn the names of their dogs. Carry dog biscuits in your apron. Can I give your dog a biscuit?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Teach the people who are on your team how to handle lines, how to be helpful to a captain coming in. Because on a windy day and a heavy tide, you know, that captain may be a little nervous. They probably wouldn't admit to it. But if you see them coming, you can walk down to the end of the dock and just stand there and be helpful. Even if they say, it's okay, I got it, the fact that you're standing there and being helpful sends a message that you are proactive, that you're thinking about taking care of them, that you're concerned about their safety, and that you care. Have the team practice drills for a vessel that might be sinking or a vessel that might be on fire. Again, it sends a message to the people who are in your harbor saying, hey, these guys are really on it. They really think about it. The harbor where my boat is, the harbor masters go around and test for electrical current leaking into the water on every boat every month. And we turn the power off if it's more than 50 milliamps. Because we have divers in the water, and now we have a junior sailing program, so there are young kids falling out of little boats all the time. And the people in the harbor love that we do that, that we have electric shock drowning at the forefront of our thinking. And when we tell them there's something wrong, they are delighted because they say, yeah, that's bad. I don't want to be responsible. And they, well, we had a person at the harbor who it cost them $12,000 to replace inverters and chargers and batteries because their boat was leaking 80 milliamps into the water. Okay, and we talked about these things. And if members, this happened at our harbor recently, a member came and said, you know, I live aboard, I really miss fresh vegetables. Can I have an area to set up a garden? Sure thing. We'll find you a spot. You can set up a garden. And now, it's a privilege that is offered to people in the harbor who do something for the harbor. And we say to them, you know, do you want to take a plot in the allotment and grow some tomatoes? Oh, I would love that. Right? They feel special. They feel rewarded. They feel as though we're taking care of them. And what we try and do is build a maturity model. We try and understand who are the people in the harbor who are going to benefit us the most. And we build programs to nurture them and give them special treatment that makes them want to help the harbor more. Okay, we talked about this as well. All right. So, first thing we do then, we get the team together, we design some programs, we engage with the boaters, and then we think about, okay, which of these boaters are going to become champions for us? Which of those boaters are going to fly across country on the red eye all the way from California and tell you just how great West Point Harbor is in Redwood City? That would be me. Okay. So we need to make sure everybody on the team knows their names, right? It's Peter and Phyllis Smythe. And their kids are Robert, Richard, Rowena, and Rosemary. And the dogs are Teddy and Bobby because Mrs. Smythe likes to name her dogs after Kennedys. When you're puzzling about something, we have a major issue at our marina right now about cork recycling. It's California. It's just a thing. But members of the harbor desperately want to recycle corks. So we turned it to our contenders and said, that's a great idea. How would we do that? And so now they've been empowered to solve the we want to recycle corks problem. And so soon we'll be getting a specially designed barrel that will go under one of the eaves, so it'll be out of the weather, and they will tell the rest of the community that how to recycle their corks. And they volunteer to take them to Whole Foods once a month. If there's important news, tell the contenders, tell the champions first. Hey, dredging starts September. We're not exactly sure of the date. Don't announce anything about what the date's going to be, but I wanted you to know, because it's going to be a big organizational thing to move the boats from the east end of the harbor to the west end, and then move all the boats back to the east end, and so the dredgers can just go full speed without having to wait. Okay, yeah. Did you know that that boat... Okay, good to know. We didn't know that that boat didn't, whatever it didn't do. So bring them in, give them logoed apparel, right? Hey, we've got some new sweatshirts in. Why don't you have one? This will be your size. Reward them, encourage them. You know, if the Coast Guard are coming in to do inspections, tell those guys first. You know, we've got 400 boats in our marina. Coast Guard won't get to more than 50 of them. You want to be on the list first.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them are going to want to get really involved. Two of the harbor members now are port captains. So whenever there's a cruise in, or even if there's just an individual coming in, the port captains can't, they're so excited. Out comes the radio on Channel 71, and they just can't wait to hear the voice from the creek saying, we're coming around the corner. Okay. So, remember, we're looking for champions. We're looking for people who will go the extra mile. So listen to them when they're talking to other people. When I'm on harbor master duty and a prospective member comes into the harbor, if one of the other members is in the harbor, one of the contenders or one of the champions, I say, oh, let me introduce you to Neil. Neil says, oh, hi. And they say, what do you do, Neil? I say, oh, I have my boat here. Sometimes I'm the port captain. Oh, port captain, what's that all about? And so now you get to hear them tell the story about their view of the harbor. And because it's not me telling the story, it's somebody who lives here, has their boat here, is invested here, that becomes a great testimonial. I close about 3 out of 4 applicants. And I don't do it. I get the other people in the harbor to do that. I vet them, right? That boat, you know, should not be a wreck. And if it's a good boat, will look good in our harbor. I get the members to help me close them. Are they enthusiastic? Are they excited? Is the marina a priority to them? One of the port captains doesn't live aboard. He lives about 50 miles away. But if there's a cruise in coming in and he wasn't planning on coming in the weekend, he comes in to help out the other port captain who is a live aboard. They're great for leading community projects. One of the things we do is we have we call it the Dine Around the Docks on July the 4th. The county fireworks are about a mile from our marina. And we get those members to organize the potluck, organize which dock is going to do appetizers and entrees and dessert. And it gets them involved with other members of the harbor. They hear things, which they tell us. Oh, you know, this person's decided that it's too much of a commute to San Francisco, so they're thinking of moving to Oyster Point. So we can work on them. So we build a program to encourage those contenders, because ultimately what we want is people to be champions, people who will get on a plane and come and talk at conferences about just how great the marina is and what we've learned, and how we can help you be as successful as we are. Champions are, well, in the language they're called mavens and connectors.
Right.
Mavens and connectors. Connectors, people who know a lot of people. Mavens, people who talk to a lot of people. And your goal then has got to be turning those champions into a force for your sales good. I can tell you from my experience that having members of the Harbor who, you know, just introducing them and then become the top salespeople, that is a very powerful asset. The investment from you doesn't have to be very high. And when you think about all the money that you spend on marketing, it's quite typical for us not to spend any money marketing to the people in the marina. Of course, we do improvements. And in fact, any marketing we do is of benefit to the people in the marina because they see it too. And when they see your advertising, they say, oh, good, there's still life in the old marina yet. But we very rarely think about delivering a marketing program direct to the marina, exclusively to the people in the harbor, that demonstrates the value that they're getting out of the rent they pay every month. And so turning customers into champions is another method for you to retain people in your harbor as members and get more to come besides. The idea of having a waiting list for slips in the marina, I think perhaps is a dream of all of us. Customers are hard to get. They're harder to keep. And so we need to spend some time doing just that. Questions? Excellent.
How many boilers do you have?
So we have 406 slips. It's not precise because we have end ties that is a slip, and sometimes it's two slips. And we have side ties. But 406 is the number we go by. And we're about two-thirds full.
Are they all members of the
outcome? No. That's an excellent question. So in my other job as the GM of the yacht club, I keep what we call boatographics. So there's 400 slips as two-thirds full, 263, I think, is where we are today. And of the members, 40% of them, so 40% of 150 is, making me do mental arithmetic, is 60. So 60 of the 263 are members of the yacht club, yeah. And 40%, the other 60% have, so another 40% have their boat elsewhere, and 20% don't have a boat. I say they're between boats, but I'm biased. Sorry.
How do you navigate sifting through non-ideal slip renters? Ones that don't take care of their boats?
Yeah, that's a really excellent question.
Could you repeat it?
Yes, indeed. So the question was, how do we sift through and determine who's an ideal boater for the marina and who's not? The first thing we do is require a current photograph. And we're very skilled at knowing if it's something that's been downloaded from the internet. The person who downloaded it from a brochure was obvious. But we, you know, we can Google you know, a 57-foot Jeannot, and if that picture comes up on Google, then we know that it's not a real picture. Once they passed all the paperwork tests, we then call their current marina and talk to the harbour master. Where I am, there's honour amongst harbour masters, and we tell the truth. If we get a good reference from the harbour master, then we're pretty much sure. But we also talk to the people face to face, and you can tell. I screwed up a month ago. Person said, hey, I'm coming in, just one night. And came in, he had a nice enough boat. And then he came into the harbour house the next day and said, I love it here, can I stay a week? Sure. And 6 weeks later, he's still there. And I should have been more thorough in my questioning. But he promoted himself as, you know, just cruising by, wanted somewhere for the night, and was moving on.
What about getting rid of current slip renters that may be problematic?
So that's why the rules and regs are really important.
What's the question?
So the question is, what about, how do you get boaters to leave who are undesirable? So the rules and regs are important. And our rules and regulations make it very clear that you are expected to maintain your boat in good order. In fact, I don't know if this is common, but we only let people into the harbour who can demonstrate some cruising or sailing history. We don't want people who are just going to leave their boat there because we want people who are boaters. We want, you know, people hanging out on the party dock telling stories of, you know, terrible weather and near misses and bonding on that basis. So if you've inherited a boat and you're just parking at the harbour, which you don't want to do, that, we don't want you. We also enforce the rules pretty strongly. It's hard, right? I have my boat in the marina and I'm also a harbour master. And so when my next door neighbour is out with her dog and the dog's not on leash, and I have to say to her, Jill, come on, we talked about this. She says, oh, come on, Kevin, we're on the docks, right? We're not out on the road. It's the rules. It's hard, but you have to enforce it and reinforce it because potentially, and document it, because potentially it can become a reason to ask the person to leave the harbour. Jill's not leaving. She's got a 70-foot sea ray, and it's gorgeous. But recently, we did have a situation where a member died, and the boat was left to his daughter, and she didn't pay the bill. And so we have a 30, 60, 90 process, and at 90, we filed a lien on the boat, and we took possession of it. At 120, and we sold it. Sorry, the gentleman at the back was first. So the question was, is it based on
landlord and tenant rules
or personal property? Yes, it's a landlord and tenant agreement. And it's largely based on the standard template that you can download from the MRA. You can add the bit about no rap music on Thursdays. Just 1 second, there was a person in the middle here.
Am I a storage facility if I have to take someone to court, or what am I? Because they get confused there, and I don't even know what court to go to get somebody out.
Sure. I can't help you. I'm not an attorney. I know that we exercise the rules in our agreement that we had an attorney review, and we just apply those rules. And if people are not meeting the rules, then, you know, we take them to our process. And that's the key thing, is you must have a process. And the whole team must need to know what the process is because they need to back each other up. We have a, I'm sure you do, we call it the big board. We have a big board, which is a big map of the marina with the names of all of the people who have boats in the marina. We have that. People say, do you have any vacant slips? Click. And we have to stand over them while they delete the photograph. Right? Because that's personal, private information that they're not entitled to have. And we all know that process, and we all enforce it equally. We all know that, curiously, when people are cruising out, the size, the length of their boat is bigger than when they're looking for a slip.
It does change.
And so how big is it from the swim deck to the end of the bowsprit? Well, it's a 49. Yeah, but how long is it? It's a 49. So it'll fit in a 50-foot slip and won't, the bowsprit won't go over the dock. No, no, it'd be fine. And the swim deck won't go out into the fairway. No. And then the boat comes, and they didn't tell you about the davits with the dinghy. And so suddenly you have a problem. Well, we don't have a problem, right? We have a process. If the boat doesn't fit, you have to move it. For those of you who remember the OJ trial. Yes. Ah, so another excellent question. So when somebody sells their boat and the boat stays in the same slip, well, we apply the process. And the process says that in order for you to be a person who can have a boat in our marina, the boat must be in good order. So it probably is, because we've been enforcing the rule about keeping it in good order. But there's also the rule about, are you going to be a good person? And by that we mean, you know, you're not going to be a sneak aboard. You're going to pay your rent on time. You're going to participate in community events as you like, but, you know, you're not going to be, you know, a drunk falling in the water. And so we take references. We take references from previous marinas first. If they're a new boater, we will take references from their employer. There's another session going on, I think it's actually going on right now, about insurance. And I went to the session last year. I got back to West Point, and I was ashen. The attorney and the insurance person terrified me for just, you know, how much liability is on our shoulders if we don't follow the process. And our book on processes, it is this thick. We have a process for everything. And it's arduous, but it's important, because at the end of the day, we're providing a product, and we're providing it to hundreds of people, and they should not be disadvantaged if there's somebody who is not following the rules. My wife lets our dogs off leash, and I finally had to say to her, this is just not okay. It's not okay because I'm a harbor master. It's not okay because the rules and regs say it. And it's not okay, because the reason for the rule is, right, they can terrify other people on the dock. We have two big golden retrievers, and they can fall in. So we've got to stop that. So she glimmers, is that a word? She glowers at me every time she puts the leash on, but she doesn't say anything.
I think you're in a very enviable position. Because
the 2018 Large Mariner of the Year. Thank you.
Right. And
oh, did I mention, by the way, that West Point Harbor was the...
And we're the small marina of the year.
I remember seeing your picture.
The problem that we have is that we're in a very remote location, and we have a program when somebody shows up with a boat, we nail their feet to the floor. Because our growth is only 3, 4, 5 boats a year. So it's very hard to, not that we don't have a lease, not that we don't have rules and regs and everything else, but we certainly, I feel, I've learned a lot about your champion and your contender, but I don't think, we don't do the upfront interviewing and references that you're mentioning.
And
that's probably true for most small marines.
And what you're describing is something that every business in the world goes through, which is you have to do a risk assessment. You have to say how much risk is associated with this amount of income. And you have to balance those things out. And only you can make that decision. you know, for West Point, it's a decision about, you know, we're a basically a big boat marina, so we have some, you know, very nice and very expensive boats, and it's just not, you know, tolerable to have, you know, people clowning around in the water, you know, running into somebody's boat.
And our average boat is a 24-foot pontoon boat.
Right. Yes, sir.
Let's say you have a customer who's maybe they're on the fence of being a contender, and either you or someone at your harbor, they goof something up. You goof something up on your end. What are things that you can do to make sure that they kind of they fall over the fence and stay on your side and not become a they'll start to mutiny or come against you?
Are you married? Do you have a partner? Okay. How did your dad deal with it? What did your dad do when he screwed up?
You own up to it and apologize.
You've got to own it. Yeah, and we all screw up, right? I screwed up on Saturday. Yeah, I put a boat in dry storage in a 30-foot slip because it was the only one we had left. The other harbour master, so I signed the person up, boat came in the next day, the other harbour master put it in a different part of dry storage where it only took up 15 feet and kept the 30-foot slip open. Yeah. And we talked about it, and I learned a lesson, which is just because it's not marked on the asphalt, it doesn't mean it's not a space that you can rent. So I learned an important lesson. I owned it, and I know what to do next time. But If it's a harbor member and you let them down, you've got to own it. And you need to tell, you know, you need to tell the boss that you screwed up and you need to make good. And I think that most people have enormously generous spirits. I mean, there are a few people who are always itching for a fight, and that's not your fault. But yeah, if you screw up, own it, fix it. I was bringing my boat home one day, and the engine's cut out. And as you know, there are no brakes. And I gently glided into my neighbor's boat, left a 1-foot hole in his transom. It was 1 a.m. There was nobody around. But I called him the next day, right, because that's the right thing to do. Yeah, you got to own it. And $500 later, it was fixed. And he respects me, and other people in the harbor who know about it respect me. And many people have said to me, I wouldn't have said anything. And I don't believe that. I think they all would have said something. Yeah.
The loyalty thing and the champion, your customers, okay, so you got your different levels of customers.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, do champions get any special treatment? Not financially, no. You know, if everybody in West Point pays in a month in advance, if they, you know, give notice, we refund whatever's due to them. But the people who are champions, the people who do good for the marina, we reward them in other ways, right? We reward them with apparel, with roles and responsibilities. We engage them in decision-making, not really in the decision-making, but we engage them in the fact-finding that we need to do to come up with a good plan. And that promotes in them a sense of responsibility and loyalty that it's hard to shake from them. And that's what we want. We want them out and about doing their thing. So the head of the local yachting association for Northern California, his boat is now with us. And, you know, he goes to probably 4 meetings a week in his job as the Commodore of the Pacific Interclub Yachting Association. You know, I know that when people, you know, say, well, where's your boat, Winston? You know, he tells them all about the harbor where he chose to put his boat. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people who will do it voluntarily, will do it willingly, will do it, they want to do it. And because they do, we want to recognize them and reward them in non-financial ways. We don't. This is not about spending money. It's about spending as little money as possible to have these people in the harbor out selling the harbor to other boaters. And when you get a person like that, who's the commodore of a big organization, you know, they're very influential. And so it carries more weight when it comes from him.
You mentioned the corporate recycling. What happens when champions come to you with a bad idea?
So the question is, what happens when the champions come with a bad idea? That sure does happen. Are you familiar with the Bay Area's four-letter word, BCDC? Have you heard of that? The Bay Conservation and Development Commission. It's a regulatory body we have in the Bay Area that gets to make decisions on anything that's on the water in the bay and 100 feet from the shoreline. Very often, the bad ideas they come up with are just not going to pass the regulator. So that's an easy out for us for many things. Sometimes it's maybe not the right time for the idea, and so we'll say, yeah, you know, we'd love to do that at some point. One of the things we want to do is to put in a hoist to put disabled sailors into boats, we've got to get the fuel dock done, and so it's just part of a plan. So it comes up from time to time that we should provide that facility, and we want to do it. We just can't because we haven't got the infrastructure in place yet for that. And so there are things like that. Truly bad ideas. I can't think of anything that was just truly awful. I think about it, the reason for that is probably because these people, they're so steeped in the boating life that, you know, they know what's feasible and practicable and what will work in our harbour. And we all the time we get people coming back. We had a visitor from Australia about a month ago, and he said that at his marina he bought 2 Lexuses. Is that the plural of Lexus? He bought 2 Lexuses for visiting boaters to use so they could drive to town and get dinner. So I suggested to the owner of West Point, we buy 2 Teslas because we're in Tesla country. And he said that was not a good idea. Yeah, exactly. We have Uber as well.
Responding to posting on social media.
Uh-huh.
Is there a time where you decide I'm not going to respond to that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So if there is a review and you decide you think the best thing to do is not respond, absolutely. My wife's a psychologist. She got an awful review about her treatment of a patient. And we discussed it at length, and we decided not to respond because it turned out that after we did some research that this guy had basically left the same review at a number of therapists, and he was just looking to have a fight. And so whatever we had said, no matter how conciliatory, he would have just gone off, and he would have just loved the engagement. So I would say that it's a good idea when you see a review like that to look at that person's other reviews and see if they are, you know, just a complainer But if you see that there are lots of balanced reviews where people say, I really appreciated that and this was awful, then you should engage. And I would say, do not re-engage, right? If the person comes back at you, just leave it. The fact that you responded quickly, you owned it, you offered to remediate the issue, you wanted them back so that they could talk to you face-to-face. I mean, all of that shows that you're not closed, that you're not defensive, and that open posture is what people will read. But if they then come back at you, the worst thing I ever want to read is, and another thing. Right? My ex-wife used to say that to me a lot. And, it's just piling on, right? You've already made your point, right? And another thing, you didn't empty the dishwasher yesterday. It was your day.
As far as getting reviews in the first place, we do get 10 reviews a summer or a season, mm-hmm. which seems like nothing compared to our sister property, a restaurant that gets 10 reviews at a meal. Have you found a way to increase the amount of reviews that people will actually go online and post?
Yeah.
We're struggling with that.
I asked them.
We do. We have to give them cards. We ask them for emails, but you can't really offer them any incentive.
No, you can't offer them incentive. So when people are checking out, if they casually say something to people in the harbor for years, they casually say something, I stop and say, wow, I really appreciate that you said that. You wouldn't post that, would you? And, I don't know, maybe less than half the time they do. But the fact that I'm encouraging them, the fact that I believe it's worthy of that commentary being made about the place where I keep my boat and work. Yeah, so you can do that. I would certainly never buy likes and favorites and things like that. I would say that I spend a lot of time appreciating other marinas. So when I go cruising, I take a moment to say nice things about them. I'm in the lucky position of being a harbor master that I know most of the other harbor masters, so if I have a bad experience, I can call the harbor master and say, hey, you probably didn't notice this, but... and they appreciate it, and they do the same with me. And that's good, because we're all in this together, right? We're all trying to make the best product possible. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question related to how you make your staff feel more responsible and more part of the family, especially when it's a small arena. You tend to have younger people who are maybe in school and a lot of turnover. So what can you do in non-monetary ways to give them that support?
So what I try and do with the harbor crew is when I've got a project, I take them with me. So we have party barges in our harbor. And a member had asked the party barge to be moved, and it got missed. It got left off the to-do list. And it was my day. I came in, and the person came in and said, where's the party barge? And I said, okay, I'll handle that. And I went and got the newest member of the team, and I said, hey, Luis, come with me. And so we went out on the little whaler we have, and we strapped the party barge, and we moved it, and we apologized profusely. And he can do that. Now he knows that he has permission to move those barges because I taught him how to do that and watched him do it and all the other things. So empowerment and responsibility, engagement, feedback's important. We have a gardener who pushes the envelope when it comes to breaks and lunch. They're 5 minutes early and 5 minutes late. And so, just happening to be by the shed getting a stack of towels at noon isn't a good idea, but at 5 to noon, he'll drive past the shed and go back and then come back at noon. So, things like that. Just normal management practices. But the most important thing is telling them the whole story. So when we had dredging done recently, the whole team were involved in the conversation about what the process was going to be, where we're going to start, what we needed to do, what help we were going to need. You know, we had everybody. We had the gardeners and the handymen out on the docks, moving lines for people who weren't able to move the boats themselves. And so it's a process of engagement, and we don't exclude our team from anything. So you know, the holiday party, they get to come to the holiday party, and whenever we've got anything special going on, we invite them, and they get to decorate the harbor house, and whatever we can to make them feel, you know, genuinely part of the team. And you'll often see the owner of the harbor, you know, standing next to the most junior member, and the junior member's pounding nails that the harbor master's holding. So it's just an ethic, I think, that that horrible phrase, a fish stink from the head, right? Well, the opposite's also true, right? Leadership is something that you have to work at. So invite me, I'll be happy to come and sit down and we can look at some strategies.
Do your staff get tips? Or are you tipless, or do they get tips?
They do not, no. The staff don't get tips that I'm aware of. I mean, maybe they do, but we don't seek it. We don't encourage it.
And do you pay your prevailing wage? Is it above the local harbors that do?
I think we pay a little bit above our neighboring harbors. But our neighboring harbors are municipal harbors for the most part. But we also pay benefits and paid vacation.
Was that hard to go?
I don't know that we've gone tipless. It's never something I see happening. We have some interesting programs in the harbor. So we have a boat washing service. I'm sure you'd have that, and the guys do that. We have a program, an Airbnb program in the marina, which I know last year was a little bit controversial when Mark talked about it. But it's very successful. So it's called Yacht Suites. And any time there's 8 to 12 luxury yachts in the program that are rented out on an Airbnb basis. And the guys take care of those boats for the owners. And I don't know that the owners tip them for that. I know that when my boat was in the program, I didn't feel the need to tip them for that.
How many guys?
So we have three harbour masters plus the owner, Mark Sanders, and we're looking for a fourth. And we have three people who are out on the harbour doing maintenance and gardening, and we're looking for additional ones. And we're probably going to be hiring an extra person when the fuel dock goes in next month.
Subcontracting the boat washing and all of that?
So the boat washing, the way in which it works is that the person who runs the Airbnb program also takes care of washing the boats in the harbor, and she contracts the guys to go do that. Yeah. And the harbor gets a cut of that as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
In your opinion, is there a ratio crew to members?
You know, that's also an excellent question. As far as the ratio concerned, I spent a lot of time at another marina up in the Delta near Sacramento, and they have a much bigger staff, probably four times as big, and the harbor's about the same size, but it's a really busy harbor. There are people cruising in and cruising out all the time, lots of... they have a sort of a very popular restaurant, so lots of people from the town come down. And there's just lots to do. It's an older harbor, so it needs a lot more maintenance. So I don't know. That's not a question I'm qualified to answer, I'm afraid. Well, this has been delightful. I didn't realize we'd run over so long, but my part was on time. It was you that made us late.